We're reading about Elijah, and it's in 1 Kings chapter 18, starting at verse 41, followed on the screen or on page 360, 1 Kings 18. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel.
I thought it would be good to think about prayer this morning. We begin a new series next week. But I was led to these verses from 1 Kings 18. I'm always struck from the words in James that talks about Elijah at this point. So let me just read them to you. They're on the screen. "Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain." I'm always surprised by those words, "Elijah, a man just like us." So take courage. Our prayers, because we are just like Elijah and he is just like us, our prayers are heard in heaven. And it's also helpful to look at the life of Elijah at this point, to see his weakness. Because in his weakness, God heard his prayers. We've just read that bit at the end of 1 Kings 18, but what precedes it is that contest on Mount Carmel, where Elijah takes on the prophets of Baal. But immediately afterwards, he's gripped by fear of a woman, Jezebel, and he literally goes to the other end of the country because he is so afraid. Elijah had said there would be no rain. That's in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. And now he prays for rain again. Now these verses were read at the end of chapter 18, following this moment on Mount Carmel. You may remember that fire came from heaven, and Elijah's prayers were answered, and all the people said that Yahweh was the God. Amidst all the other gods, that Yahweh was the God. That was the God of Israel. But now another prayer needed to be answered. Now it's interesting, we don't always understand these things, but various gods in the Old Testament were known to have certain qualities. They didn't, actually, but the people thought that they did. So Baal was worshipped as a god who rode on the clouds, the god who understood lightning, the god who set his thunderbolt in the heavens. And Elijah's prayer demonstrates that the God of Israel is the one who controls the weather. He is still the God who controls the weather. I was going to read you another story this morning about a similar event where a Christian in South Africa took on the witch doctors when there had been no rain in that area for quite some time. It was Zulus, and it was the witch doctors within the Zulus, and a Christian was able to open the heavens. But instead, I thought I'd read you this one about Nigeria. It seemed that no one could make it rain. One summer in the early 1900s in northern Nigeria, the crops were failing from lack of rain. Starvation was imminent. The tribespeople tried everything they knew to get rain from the heavens. They beat their drums, blew their horns, and screamed and shouted to their gods. At the end of a week, they sacrificed a calf, they drank the blood, and ate the raw flesh. Still, there was no rain. The Muslims in the area were next to call for the rain. Confidently, they told the tribal chief, "We will bring the rain. If noise could have done it, they would have brought the heavens down." They screamed and cried 3 times a day and 3 times at night. They fasted and then sacrificed the lamb. Still no rains came. After church one Sunday, an African pastor came to Thomas Titkoon, a pioneer missionary with the Sudan Interior Mission. The pastor asked, "Isn't it time for us to pray for rain? Our people pray to idols that cannot see, hear, or speak. They can't help us. The Muslims pray to Allah, but Muhammad lived and then died. Allah and Muhammad cannot help us. But Jesus came out of the grave and said, 'All power is given unto me.' Yes, I think it's time for us to pray." So the next night, missionary Titkoon and the local pastor called for a prayer meeting for rain. When the church bell rang to call worshippers to the church, not a cloud was in the sky. Titkoon walked into the church and smiled at what he saw. On one side were seated the Muslims and the animistic tribespeople. On the other side sat the Christians, and all the Christians had open umbrellas over their heads. Umbrellas. Before the missionary could ask, the Christians told him their reasoning. "We've come to pray for rain. And didn't you tell us that only those who believe God answers prayer were to come?" The umbrellas over their heads were their sign of faith that God would answer their prayer. When it came time for the Christians to pray, their prayer was simply, "Lord, we need rain." One by one, they prayed much the same thing. Soon they heard the tapping of raindrops on the corrugated roof. Missionary Titkoon didn't have to say a word. The new Christians in Nigeria had taught him a lesson he would never forget about the meaning of faith. When you pray for rain, don't forget your umbrella. So I want to say 3 things about this very simple story. First of all, Elijah said it would rain when it wasn't expected. He told King Ahab — Ahab was the husband of Jezebel, there had been some dreadful things happening in Israel — that rain was coming. And of course, the king knew that there had been no rain for 3.5 years. So why should it rain now? So here's the question. How much should we speak boldly about what we believe God will do? There is certainly a place for it, but be careful not to be loose with your words. Eventually, when the rain came, it was described as heavy or an abundance of rain. I think we should express our faith when we believe something is going to happen. I believe we're going to have a significant year in 2014. I don't mean our church here. We're part of that. But I wonder whether this year is going to be the beginnings of a greater turning back to the Lord in this country, resulting in salvation. There was an abundance of rain. Boy, does this country need an abundance of rain. I don't mean physical rain. We've had plenty of that in the last few weeks. I'm talking about spiritual rain. It hasn't rained very heavily spiritually for my lifetime in this country. There has been an absence of God raining down his spirit. There have been seasons of spirit, but nothing that has made an appreciable difference in the spiritual climate. The church has been in decline all my life, and we have become a secular society. Now, actually, the only place that's different is London, where there has been church growth in the last few years. But that's not true of the rest of the nation. We have not been without our initiatives. One comes every few years when there is a fresh commitment to evangelize the nation, but it hasn't made a dent in the decline. Now, let me not be too negative. God has done some terrific things, even in this semi-drought. Although many churches have closed, thousands have opened with new labels. People have steadily been converted. Christian ministry has had a big effect up and down our country. But heavy rain, which will change the nation, we have not seen. I'll come back to this shortly, because I do want to stay with the Elijah story. So secondly, Elijah immediately went to prayer. He goes to the top of Carmel. Why? I suppose because he's just seen a great victory on Mount Carmel. And there are places where we feel that we can come to God with more confidence. The place doesn't bring the answer to prayer, but it's as though in that environment we feel that we can come to God with more faith in our hearts. How does he pray? He puts his head between his knees. Now, why is he doing this? Not absolutely sure, but here are two or three thoughts. First of all, he wants to look to God rather than the weather, so removes the distraction of what's happening or not happening in the skies. Or maybe he's going into this posture because it speaks of his earnestness. He wants to show that he's serious about it. Or maybe after Carmel, he's just physically drained, exhausted, and that this is the easiest position for him to take. I don't know. What he is certainly doing is bringing something to birth. And then thirdly, Elijah sends his servant to check out the skies. He speaks to his servant and asks if he can see a change in the weather. The answer is no. So Elijah continues in prayer and asks his servant to go 7 times to see whether the weather conditions are changing. Eventually, he is told that there is a cloud just the size of a man's hand. That's enough for Elijah. He immediately sends a message to King Ahab and says, get on your chariots and get to Jezreel because you'll be overcome by the weather falling out of the skies. And then there is an abundance of rain. So back to this country again. Actually, there has been prayer for God's outpouring for decades. All my spiritual life, there have been those who have encouraged us to pray for revival. In the 60s, when I was a more committed Christian, I'm still a committed Christian, but I mean I became a committed Christian in the 60s. Lots of you will know Selwyn Hughes and his organization, Crusade for World Revival. And alongside the magazine, there was also some notes that you could read every day with Jesus. Over the decades, there have been similar movements. Organizations that have reached into people's hearts and said, we need to come to God. And they've been terrific times and terrific movements. The latest one in our country is the Global Day of Prayer, which is headed up by Jonathan Oliyede. Now, he's a Nigerian who came to this country to be educated and became a Christian. He was a Muslim, but became a Christian. And he believes that there will be an outpouring of the Spirit upon this country. He's been organising lots of prayer. At the moment, it's moved on to joining the dots, and he's trying to see what's happening up and down the country so that all those who are praying can be coordinated a little more. He was the one that had faith to take Wembley Stadium in 2012. I was so blessed, actually, when 100 of us from Purley Baptist went to that prayer meeting in Wembley. Actually, I don't know that many churches would have sent 100. I don't want us to get carried away with ourselves. It's just something important that we need to do. And of course, when you do that sort of thing, you are greatly blessed. So that's the latest expression. This has been many decades. This wasn't a short prayer that Elijah prayed, but many Christians. But the fact is that there are still a minority of Christians who are calling out to God. It's a sad fact that 60% of the churches in this country don't even have a prayer meeting. 60% of the churches in our country don't even have a prayer meeting. We've been encouraging a praying spirit at Purley Baptist Church for a long time, and there is no doubt that the Lord is helping us. This is why we've introduced these particular times of prayer. This year we've got another 3 times, not always done in the same way, but opportunities in the midst of the praying that we're doing all of the time to have seasons of prayer. And we've encouraged church members to go to particular homes. And more of us have prayed because of that. But maybe you haven't. And maybe you say, oh, I don't do that. I just can't bring myself to be with others to pray. I have to say, why not? I often say to people, we are born again in order to pray. It's the first cry out of our hearts. It's Abba Father that comes out of our hearts. It's the first cry of the sign of the Spirit within us. So we go into another year, and maybe this is the year when God will do extraordinary things amongst us. Are we in a place where we can announce that the Lord is going to do something special? I felt led, when I was planning the New Year preaching, to go to Isaiah 40 to 44. So we'll be in these chapters for the next few weeks. And why have I selected those chapters for our Sunday morning teaching? Well, they're chapters that speak of hope, restoration, and salvation. They're great chapters, actually, and they will encourage us. They'll give us a bigger picture of God and to see what he does in our hearts. But I've chosen them because I felt led to do so, thinking that this year may be the beginnings of God's fresh stirring, not just in the churches, but also in the nation. There are also fresh initiatives this year. In London, there is something called Crossing London. This is an initiative that all churches can take part in. Last year, there were a number of training times. One took place at Christ Church, for example. But in London, there are hundreds and thousands of churches, actually. And this is trying to bring that large number together, Crossing London. And towards the end of this year, there will be an event bringing opportunity to respond to Christ. Also this year there is Hope 14. Hope 14 encourages Christians in villages, in towns and in cities to bring fresh hope to their communities. The London Baptist Association have had a fresh calling together of their team, and they've been re-examining how to do things, and they've brought a challenge to the London Baptist churches that every church should see conversion growth. And they've itemized the number that each church should aim at. This is good to have these challenges. We grow by conversion growth. We grow by transfer growth a lot, but we need to grow also by conversion growth. Our society is very different today. It is blatantly secular, yes, but we are filled with people from almost every nation on earth. Is this the time that the indigenous British, as well as these other nations, will come to an understanding of Jesus? Are we going to get our head between our knees? I just read this a couple of days ago. You may have heard of somebody called Lawrence Singlehurst. He's a chap who does a lot with churches, particularly with small groups. And he mentions going to a prayer meeting just a few days ago, and here are his words. At the end of 2013, I went to a prayer meeting hosted by the Redeemed Churches, for which 40,000 people gathered in the Excel Centre in London. They prayed for this nation from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. that in this year we would see an unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our missional activities across all denominations and ethnic groups. Let me just say one further word, because I emphasize something there. His grace poured out on our missional activities. If a church isn't doing much mission, then he's not going to pour his spirit out, because there's no point. We often sit back and say, God do it. But God's way is always in cooperation. May God pour out his spirit into our missional activities, because that's where the people are. That's where the people are unsaved are. So whether it's the link, or whether it's Bods and Tods, or whether whatever it might be, or in the offices where we spend a lot of our time, may God's grace and heavy rain be poured out upon us. Anybody saying amen?